We're reading from Galatians 5, starting with verse 1, then slipping down to verse 16. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thank you so much, Lionel. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Josh, and to all of our worship team and tech team this morning as well. It's just been such a rich time of worship, hasn't it? Yeah. And I do want to just acknowledge Trav's departure later. But, yeah, our hearts very much, you know, doing this journey with you guys as well. As we get into our message today and we're continuing our series in Galatians, how about we come before the Lord in prayer? Well, Lord, we want to thank you for this book of Galatians, and we want to thank you, Lord, for this hinge point today where Paul gets incredibly practical. And we want to pray, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear the things that you want to say to us today. And we want to pray, Lord God, that we won't just be hearers of the word, but God, we would be doers of your word. Lord, that our lives would be increasingly being shaped and being transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And I just recognise today, Lord God, that this is one of those messages that actually has so much potential to transform each and every one of us. So, God, we just want to present ourselves to you and help us to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you about a lady called Fiona. I met Fiona in a maximum security prison called Mullewa. I was in for a week as part of a Kairos missions team. Fiona, on the other hand, was in for 18 years. Over the course of this week, our Kairos team sought to share the unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ. And over the course of that week, I watched Fiona receive the forgiveness that Christ had offered her and open herself to him. We saw a massive change in Fiona. And on day 4 of our Kairos course, every inmate on our Kairos course was given a bag full of handwritten letters. And these were letters written by people in churches, including ours, that had just expressing encouragement and love and inclusion into the church. And most of the inmates on that course were ripping open their letters and reading them then and there. But Fiona, I'll never forget, she stood clenching her bag full of letters. As she shared with the group through tears, she said, "I'm not going to read my letters yet. I'm going to take them one by one. And every week I'm just going to post one in through the cell door, because the sentence ahead of her just seemed so very long to her. She wanted to stretch out her letters to make them last as long as possible." You know, we saw a massive change in Fiona that week. But imagine if somehow the justice system also caught sight of this change, and this change is lasting, and so they decide, actually, Fiona doesn't need to serve her 18 years. She could be released, well, now. And so imagine if we were there, standing outside of those prison gates. Sorry, let me go there. There we go. Imagine we're there, standing outside as the doors get opened and she gets released. We would say, go for freedom. But be careful to protect your freedom, right? Don't do anything that's going to land you back in prison. And you know, this is what Paul is trying to get through to the Galatians. He begins chapter 5 saying, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And this seems such an obvious statement. But Paul is saying it because, as we've heard over the past few weeks, the Galatians were in danger of giving up their freedom. You know, it was like having walked out of the prison gates. They were now, and they've received like their freedom in Christ. They're now back at the prison gates, knocking to be let back in. Paul says, stand firm in your freedom and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. I think one of the great ironies is the thing that would land the Galatians back in prison wasn't sin. You know, that's the natural presumption, that you do something wrong, you commit a crime and you end up in prison. But actually, Christ's death would mean that they could be forgiven. And so the thing that would land them back in prison wasn't sin. But rather, it was not trusting that Christ's death was enough to make them right with God. And so going back to the slavery of law keeping, just to make sure. And so Paul says it again in verses 2-6. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. You who are trying to be justified by the law, and like, because this is the point, right? It's not the act of circumcision itself, but it's circumcision as it is being used to identify with the Jewish law. Paul says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated by Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Paul is so concerned that the Galatians are standing back at that prison door, knocking to be let back into the slavery of law keeping. And so, if sin isn't going to land us back in prison, and we're free from the Old Testament law, then, like, how do we as Christians know how to live in a way that pleases God? Because in 2022, you know, for us, when Paul says that we are free, we need to understand that our culture also says that we are free. Our culture says that freedom is found in being true to yourself, doing what is right for you, going with how you feel, expressing yourself. That is where true freedom is found, says our culture. That's the current code. That's what guides the choices that people make. But Paul is not saying that. In verses 13 and 14, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Quoting Jesus, he says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as you love yourself. In fact, this was a quote from Jesus in Mark 12, and Jesus said two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind and your strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. So how do we live in a way that pleases God? You know, it's really simple, right? Love God with everything you have and love other people as much as you love yourself. Super simple. So what I'd love you to do is to turn to the person near you and share what are some of the challenges we face in actually doing that. If you're watching at home, you know, just have a think about this from where you are as well. What are some of the challenges that we face when it comes to really loving others as much as we love ourselves? Alrighty. Who acknowledged that we have a slight tendency toward being selfish and living as we want? I was overhearing, yeah. Because this is where our culture is now saying to us, just go for it. Like, that's the right approach. Just be true to yourself. Do what you feel is right for you. That you are the centre of the choices. And I'm pretty sure that Paul would say to followers of Jesus who are buying into our current cultural narrative, he would say, that is not the path to freedom. In the second half of Galatians 5, he unpacks the alternative for us. Here and in a number of other New Testament letters, he explains that followers of Jesus have two natures. And the first is what he calls our sinful nature. In Ephesians 4:22, he refers to it as our old self. In other places, he calls it our flesh. But it's all meaning the same thing. It's who we were before we put our faith in Christ. The imprint of sin that is in every person as a result of the fall. Our old nature has a me-first approach. It gives in to desires and impulses that we might have. It has a tendency to act selfishly without regard for God or necessarily for others. But when we chose to follow Jesus, Paul says we were given a new nature, or a new self, as Paul calls it in Ephesians 4. Our new nature isn't just being a nice person. It's actually something that was supernaturally implanted in us when we put our faith in Christ. And it reflects Jesus' character. So I want you to imagine that your old nature and your new nature are like two trees. Before we came to Christ, the tree of our old nature was happily growing, and we were watering it by the choices that we were making as we lived for ourselves and we just, you know, followed our impulses. And as the tree of our old nature continues to grow and we keep watering it through self-centered choices throughout a person's life, our old nature will bear a particular kind of fruit. The message version of the Bible attempts to put it in everyday language. And so I just want to read that version to you in Galatians 5:19-21. It says, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get our own way all the time. Cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided loyalties, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, and ugly parodies of community. Now, for those of us who came to faith when we were older, you might identify with some of the fruit. But if you came to faith as a child, you know, you may not identify necessarily with these kinds of fruits. But can I just say, you still had the tree of your old nature. It was there, planted in us because of the fall, not because of the fruit. It's just that the longer we live, the more we keep watering this old nature, the more it has propensity to bear this kind of fruit. And so, going with the illustration, this is our old nature before we come to Christ. This is the nature that we served with self at the centre. We didn't have any other option. This was the only nature we had. And this is the nature that our culture says, well, go for it. You know, within reason, go for it. It's yours. Live for yourself. But when we came to Christ, it was like a new tree was planted in us. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. See, from the moment that we repent and turn to Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates us and he gives us new life in Christ, and this life reflects Christ. And so the tree of our new nature gets planted in us. And do you know what happens to our old nature when this new tree gets planted? Galatians 5:24, Paul says, those who belong to Christ have crucified their old sinful nature with its passions and desires. So essentially, when we come to Christ, the old nature doesn't control us anymore. We have choice now. And the Holy Spirit brings this new nature alive in us. You know, one of the key roles of the Holy Spirit is to foster this new nature, to help it to grow in us. But has the tree of our old nature gone completely? No. It doesn't get taken away. It's still there. It's just that now we get to choose which tree we're going to water. Will we water the tree of our old nature in our everyday decisions, or will we water the tree of our new nature? Paul says in verse 16, he says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So I want us to think about how this might work in practical, everyday situations. Say you're with a group of people, and one person in the group like particularly grates against you. And you know that there are others in the group, like, you know, that this person somehow manages to rub everyone up the wrong way. And so you're in a group, and in that moment with that person, you actually get to choose which nature you're going to act out of, right? And so if you water the tree of your old nature in that situation, perhaps you might, you know, cold shoulder the person. Or it might be that you make a few crack remarks at them at their expense in front of the group because you know that they probably share your opinion. Or perhaps if you're slightly nicer, you just think judgmental thoughts inside, right? Try and manoeuvre yourself away. But if we were to water the tree of our new nature in that situation, the Holy Spirit would be appealing to us, like, just go out of your way to include them. How can we make this person feel welcome here? How can I be kind to them in this situation? How can I stay present to them in this situation? Well, let's use a completely different example. Say you're flicking through your phone and, you know, images come up all the time, right? And so a picture pops up and it would feed lust potentially for you. And so what, your old and new natures again have this choice. So your old nature would linger on an image. The Holy Spirit appealing through your new nature just says, shut it down. Shut it down. Move on. Again, a different scenario. You're at home. There's people in your family who know how to push your buttons really well. You know, notice family know how to, you know, just kind of say things that can really get under your skin. And so someone at home is pushing your buttons and you can feel anger rising in yourself, and your old nature, it wants to argue and shout and be mean back and, you know, do all sorts of things. But again, the Holy Spirit in your new nature is just going, shh, 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 just hold your tongue. Just go away, cool down, think about it. Come back and work out how you're going to respond well in this situation. You get it, right? Like in practical, everyday situations, we are making constant choices about which nature we are going to live out of. When we choose the old nature, it's like every time we do, we're giving this tree a little bit of water, a little bit of fertilizer. We're causing this tree to grow rather than dying to it. Remember, Paul said in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the old nature with its sinful desires. So this is a choice that we keep making. Like it's something that happened when we came to Christ. We died to our old nature. But it's through the everyday choices that we keep making that we keep dying to it rather than causing it to grow and to flourish. Is this making sense? Yeah, good. So this is ongoing choices we're going to make every day. Am I going to water my old nature or am I going to water my new nature? The good news is that watering the tree of our new nature is stacked in our favour. The Holy Spirit wants us to do this. He wants to make us more and more like Jesus. He wants the tree of our new nature to grow so big that it dwarfs our old nature, that it becomes the natural place that we're just going to respond out of. It becomes instinctive for us to live out of our new nature the more and more we choose it. Paul says, how do we do it? It's simply by living by the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is just constantly wanting to guide us in it. So how do we live in a way that pleases God? We live by the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians 5. The Holy Spirit will be the inner prompt in everyday situations. He'll be the one calling us, water the new nature, die to the old nature, water the new nature. He will guide us and he will empower us as well. And you know, the more that we respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings in us, like whether that's just in our conscience or through the word, the more attuned we become to hearing the Holy Spirit's voice in those everyday situations as well. You know, it's like, I don't know if you've been, I'm sure you have, with a parent in a playground full of children. You know, and there's squeals and there's playing and there's talk and whatever. And you would have no idea which child's voice is which. But for the parent, right, their child can be way over there, but something happens, they fall over, and the parent instinctively knows, that's my child's voice, right? And that the same for us. As we respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings in us, it's like a parent attuning their ears to their children. You know, we just become more and more attuned to his voice. We recognize him in those everyday situations rather than just doing it our way, not even giving regard. We recognize the Holy Spirit just pulling us up, going, hey, do it this way, do it this way. So the more we respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings, the more attuned we become at hearing his voice, and also the more that our new nature will grow and bear fruit. And so in contrast to the fruit of our old nature that Paul has spoken through earlier, he says in verse 22 that the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he produces in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How many people learnt that in a memory verse at some point in your life? Yeah. I want us to just do a little bit of a brain break at this point, and I want to do a quick quiz, all right? So this is called What Tree Is This? And I just want you to say as loudly as you can when you recognise what tree it is, okay? So what tree is this? What tree is this? How about this? What about this? It's harder, isn't it? When you can't see a fruit, the fruit, you can't actually recognise the tree. And you know, Jesus made that same point in Matthew 7:20. He said, by their fruit you will recognise them. I'm not talking about trees, of course, but discerning those who truly belong to him, because the expectation is that as we belong to him, as we water this new nature, we will bear fruit, will become easily recognisable by the fruit that our lives bear. It's a lychee tree, by the way. Anyone have that? Someone was going, oh, I think I just wasn't brave enough to say. You know, the inventory of fruit that Paul gives us in Galatians 5, I think is so incredibly practical, because it actually helps us know what does it mean to water our new nature when he talks about loving others, or what could that look like? And I think it's just such an incredibly practical list. So I just want to, before we finish, I want to go through some of this fruit sort of more individually and just go back to the original Greek. This isn't going to take a long time, promise. But I just want to unpack these words a little bit more, because I think they get richer as we look at them. And so in Greek, there are a few different words for love. Can I just say, you know, I just want to say I'm not a Greek scholar, right? So I'm just going to pronounce these words in Greek quite quickly and confidently. And that's all I've got. The rest is what I've read. there's a few different words for love. But this particular word that Paul uses, it's not talking about an emotional or a physical kind of love. It's talking about a love that is unconditional, and it's self-sacrificing in what it does. So a lot like Jesus' love. It looks out for the welfare of others. The Greek word for joy is chara. And you know, I think when we think of joy, we often associate it with circumstances. So we identify it with happiness. Are we happy because of what's going on in our lives? But joy goes much deeper than that. And so this word joy is sourced in a spiritual reality for us. And it's sourced when we are right with God. It's that place of inner well-being that we have. And things around us can be still really, really hard, but we have this joy, this inner well-being. Peace is closely related to joy, and it is also reflective of this inner well-being that the Holy Spirit produces in us when we are right with God. So again, peace, like joy, doesn't depend on external circumstances. The fourth fruit is patience, and sometimes it gets translated as long-suffering. And it's actually a relational word, and it speaks of the ability to endure the flaws of another person and stay committed in the relationship. I think our culture has become increasingly quick to judge and quick to cut people off. But long-suffering requires us to see beyond the surface behaviour and just remind ourselves, this person is loved by God as much as me. I will hang in there with this person. The next fruit is Christotes in Greek, and it gets translated as gentleness. It's also linked with kindness. And so a person acting with the fruit of Christotes will go out of their way to care for others. Kindness does two things. It will avoid inflicting pain on others, but it will also go on to do something good for the person instead. The next fruit is agathosune. See, if you say it fast, it's very convincing. It's been translated as goodness here, and it speaks of actively expressing the love of God in acts of generosity. And so goodness is much like grace. It's an undeserved gift. As the Holy Spirit seeks to develop this fruit in us, he'll prompt us to meet others' needs, regardless of whether we believe they deserve it or not. The Greek word for faithfulness has two directions in its meaning. One is horizontal, and so it describes our relationships with one another. To be faithful means that we are loyal and trustworthy. The other direction is vertical, referring to our relationship with God, meaning that we will be faithful to him. We will continue to trust him no matter what. We're almost there. Gentleness comes from the Greek word praotes. I love this word. It literally means strength under control. And so this word was actually used of a wild horse that was trained so that its strength could be put at the disposal of its master. In the context of Galatians 5, the old nature, our old nature, would want us to use our strength to serve our own interests. But the Spirit will lead us to surrender our strengths, to put them at the disposal of God, that they would be used for his purposes and for his glory. And finally, the fruit of self-control. And so if praotes is strength under control, we could think of self-control as ego under control. It's the ability to control impulses and passions. I really hope that teasing these words out a little bit more is helpful, because Paul is trying to be incredibly practical in Galatians 5. When we live by the Spirit, we are watering the tree of our new nature, and the more we do, the more that our lives will evidence this kinds of fruit. And they'll do it, like we'll be doing that in all of our relationships, in our families, with our work colleagues, in our friendships, when we gather here at church, with complete strangers, and also with God. There'll be a consistency across our lives. You know, my prayer is coming out of today that this concept of which nature I'm watering will stay with us in practical everyday situations. I have no doubt that many of us are already aware of this, but I really hope that today serves as one of those kind of little reminders of going, as it has for me as I've prepared it, just in that everyday moments to go, you know, I have a choice here. Which nature am I going to serve here? But my prayer is that we will become increasingly attuned to the Holy Spirit urging us to love God and to love others well, that we would bring Jesus glory. So I'm wondering, as we finish today, whether you'd be prepared to join me just in repositioning ourselves before God. And this is just an invitation to him to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit, and also an acknowledgement on our part that we want to hear his voice and we want to be responsive in these everyday choices that we're making. So if you're willing, would you stand and let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, I just want to thank you that true freedom is found through Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you that you haven't left us guessing as to what this freedom looks like, but it is a freedom marked by life in your Spirit and is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. And we know, Lord God, that this fruit actually leads us into peace-filled relationships, Lord, in every context that we live. And so, God, I just want to thank you. We acknowledged earlier, Lord, that it's actually not easy to love others well. And so we just want to pray, Lord, right now, we just ask, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit? We ask, Lord, that we would be attentive to his quiet voice within us. We pray, Lord, that, yeah, as we just react and respond and make choices in everyday situations, Lord, we pray that we would be hearing what he would say, hearing what you would say, Lord God, to us, appealing for us to live out this new nature. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would forgive us for where we have been, just disregarding this choice, where we've been living our own way. Would you forgive us? Lord, help us to start afresh and empower us this week, we pray. And Jesus, I pray that this new nature in all of us, I just pray that it would continue to flourish, that this tree of our new nature would grow bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives, oh God. I pray that it would be the tree that just is so obvious as we encounter one another, as our world encounters us, oh God. I just want to pray that the fruit of our new nature would be so evident, Lord, that it would bless others, that it would bring you glory. And Jesus, that it would draw people to you. Yeah, so we thank you, Lord God.